Krishna Book Canto 7, Vrindavana Antya Leela, Chapter 33, Scene 1, Vidyadhara Liberated. Once upon a time, the cowherder men of Vrindavana, headed by Nanda Maharaj, desired to go to Ambikavan to perform the Shiva Ratri performance. The Rasa Leela was performed during the autumn, and after that the next big ceremony is Holi, or the Dola Yatra ceremony. Between the Dola Yatra ceremony and the Rasa Leela ceremony, there is one important ceremony, which is called Shivaratri, which is especially observed by the Shaivites, or devotees of Lord Shiva. But sometimes Vaishnavas also observe this ceremony because they accept Lord Shiva as the foremost Vaishnava. But the function of Shivaratri is not observed very regularly by the bhaktas or devotees of Krishna. Under the circumstances, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the cowherder men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, once upon a time desired. That means that they were not regularly observing the Shivaratri function, but that once upon a time they wanted to go to Ambikavan out of curiosity. Ambikavana is situated somewhere in the Gujarat province. Ambikavan is said to be situated on the river Sarasvati, and yet we do not find any Sarasvati river in the Gujarat province. The only river there is Sabarmati. In India, all the big places of pilgrimage are situated on nice rivers like the Ganges, Yamuna, Sarasvati, Narmada, Godavari, Kaveri, etc. Ambikavan was situated on the bank of Sarasvati, and all the cowherder men and Nanda Maharaj went there. They all very devotedly began to worship the deity of Lord Shiva and Ambika. It is the general practice that wherever there is a temple of Lord Shiva, there must be another temple of Ambika or Durga, because Ambika is the wife of Lord Shiva and is the most exalted of all chaste women. She does not live outside the association of her husband. After reaching Ambikavana, the cowherder men of Vrindavana first bathe themselves in the river Sarasvati. If one goes to any place of pilgrimage, one's first duty is to take a bath and sometimes to shave his head. That is the first business. After taking bath, they worship the deities and then distribute to charity in the holy places. According to the Vedic system, charity is given to brahmanas. It is stated in the Vedic Shastras that only brahmanas and sannyasis can accept charity. The cowherder men from Vrindavana gave cows decorated with golden ornaments and beautiful garlands. Brahmanas are given charity because they are not engaged in any business profession. They are supposed to be engaged in brahminical occupations as described in Bhagavad Gita. Namely, they must be very learned and must perform austerity and penances. They must not only themselves be learned, but they must also teach others. Brahmanas are not meant to be brahmanas alone. They should create other brahmanas also. If a man is found who agrees to become the disciple of a brahmana, then that man is given the chance to become a brahmana. The brahmana is always engaged in the worship of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, the brahmanas are eligible to accept all kinds of charity. But if the brahmanas receive excess charity, they are to distribute it for the service of Vishnu. In the Vedic scripture, therefore, one is recommended to give in charity to Brahmanas, and by doing so, one pleases Lord Vishnu and all the demigods. The pilgrims then take bath, worship the deity, and give in charity. They are also recommended to fast one day. They should go to a place of pilgrimage and stay there at least for 3 days. The first day is spent fasting, and at night they can drink a little water because water does not break one's fast. The cowherder men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, spent that night on the bank of the Sarasvati. They fasted all day and drank a little water at night. But while they were taking rest, a great serpent from the nearby forest appeared before them and hungrily began to swallow up Nanda Maharaj. Nanda began to cry out helplessly, "Oh, my dear son Krishna, please come and save me from this danger. This serpent is swallowing me." When Nanda Maharaj cried for help, all the cowherder men got up and saw what was happening. Immediately they took up burning logs and began to beat the snake in order to kill it. But in spite of being beaten with burning logs, the serpent was not about to give up swallowing Nanda Maharaj. At that time, Krishna appeared on the scene and touched the serpent with his lotus feet. Immediately upon being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, the serpent shed its reptilian body and appeared as a very beautiful demigod named Vidyadhara. His bodily features were so beautiful that he appeared to be worshipful. There was a luster and effulgence emanating from his body, and he was garlanded with a gold necklace. Vidyadhara offered obeisances to Lord Krishna and stood before him with great humility. Krishna then asked the demigod, "You appear to be a very nice demigod and to be favored by the goddess of fortune. So how is it that you perform such abominable activities? And how did you get the body of a serpent?" Vidyadhara then began to narrate the story of his previous life. "My dear Lord Krishna, in my previous life, I was named Vidyadhara and was known all over the world for my beauty. Because I was a celebrated personality, I used to travel all over in my airplane. And while traveling, I saw a great sage named Angira. He was very ugly, and because I was very proud of my beauty, I laughed at him. So due to this sinful action, I was condemned by the great sage to assume the form of a serpent. One should note herein that before being favored by Krishna, a person is always under the modes of material nature, however elevated he or she may be materially. Vidyadhara was a materially elevated demigod, and he was very beautiful. He also held a great material position and was able to travel all over by airplane. And yet, he was condemned to become a serpent in his next life. Any materially elevated person can become condemned to an abominable species of life if one is not careful. It is a misconception that after reaching the human body, one is never degraded, for Vidyadhara himself states that even though he was a demigod, he was condemned to become a serpent. But because he was touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, immediately he came to Krishna consciousness. Vidyadhara admitted, however, that in his previous life he was actually sinful. A Krishna conscious person knows that he or she is always the servant of the servant of Krishna. One is most insignificant, and whatever good he or she does is by the grace of Krishna and the spiritual master. The demigod Vidyadhara continued speaking to Lord Sri Krishna. Because I was very proud of the exquisite beauty of my body, I derided the ugly features of the great sage Angira. He cursed me for my sin, and thus I became a snake. But now I consider that this curse by the great sage was not at all a curse. It was actually a great benediction for me. For had he not cursed me, I would not have assumed the body of a serpent and would not have been kicked by your lotus feet and thus freed from all material contamination. In material existence, four things are very valuable: to be born in a decent family, to be very rich, to be very learned, and to be very beautiful. These are considered to be material assets. Unfortunately, without Krishna consciousness, these material assets sometimes become sources of sin and degradation. Despite Vidyadhara's being a demigod and having a beautiful body, he was condemned to the body of a snake due to pride. A snake is considered to be the most cruel and envious living entity. But those who are human beings and are envious of others are considered to be even more vicious than snakes. For the snake can be subdued or controlled by charming mantras and herbs. But a person who is envious cannot be controlled by anyone. Vidyadhara continued speaking to Lord Sri Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, now, since I think I have become freed from all kinds of sinful activities, I am asking your permission to return to my abode, the heavenly planet. This request indicates that persons who are attached to fruitive activities, desiring promotion to the comforts of higher planetary systems, cannot achieve their ultimate goal of life without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is also stated in Bhagavad Gita, Antavat tu phalang teshang tad bhavat yalpa medasam devan deva yajo yanti mad bhakta yanti mam api. The less intelligent want to achieve material benefits and therefore worship different kinds of demigods, but they actually get the benediction from the demigods through the permission of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Demigods have no power to bestow material profit. Even if one is attached to material benediction, he or she can worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ask Him. Krishna is completely able to give even material benediction. There is a difference, however, in asking material benediction from demigods and from Krishna. For example, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead for material benediction. But when Dhruva actually achieved the favor of the Supreme Lord and saw Him face to face, Dhruva was so satisfied that he refused to accept any material benediction. The intelligent person does not ask favors from or worship the demigods. He or she directly becomes Krishna conscious. And if one has any desire for material benefit, He or she asks Krishna, not the demigods. Awaiting permission from Krishna to return to the heavenly planets, Vidyadhara then said, "Now, because I am touched by your lotus feet, I am relieved from all kinds of material pangs. You, Krishna, are the most powerful of all mystics. You are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the master of all devotees. You are the provider of the planetary system, and therefore I am asking your permission. You may accept me as fully surrendered unto you. I know very well that persons who are constantly engaged in chanting your holy name attain release from all sinful reactions. And certainly, persons who are fortunate enough to be personally touched by your lotus feet are freed. Therefore, I am sure that I am now relieved from the curse of the Brahmana simply by being touched by your lotus feet." In this way, Vidyadhara got permission from Lord Krishna to return to his home in the higher planetary system. And after receiving this honor, Vidyadhara began to circumambulate Lord Krishna. And after offering his respectful obeisances unto Krishna, Vidyadhara returned to his heavenly planet. And thus, Nanda Maharaj also became relieved from the imminent danger of being devoured by the snake. And so, the cowherder men who had come to execute the ritualistic function of worshipping Lord Shiva and Ambika finished their business and prepared to return to Vrindavan. And while returning, they recalled the wonderful activities of Krishna. By relating the incident of Vidyadhara's deliverance, they became more attached to Krishna. They had come to worship Lord Shiva and Ambika, but they became more and more attached to Krishna. Similarly, the gopis also worshipped goddess Katyayini to become more and more attached to Krishna. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, "Kamaisthaisthaya Hrita Jnana Prapadyante Anyadevata Tung Dung Niyamam Asthaya Prakritya Niyata Swaya." Persons who are attached to worshipping demigods like Lord Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and Chandra for some personal benefit are less intelligent and have forgotten the real purpose of life. But the cowherder men, inhabitants of Vrindavan, were no ordinary men. Whatever they did for Krishna. If one worships demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to become more attached to Krishna, that is approved. But if one goes to the demigods for some personal benefit, that is condemned. Did you ever feel there was nowhere to turn? Nothing to lose, nothing to earn. Nothing seems to matter. Nobody cares if you die tomorrow. Tears wouldn't be spared. It's just a blessing in disguise, just to open up your eyes. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.